This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Beth Voorhees. Researchers at West Virginia University are working to holistically understand food insecurity throughout West Virginia with a program they call West Virginia Food Link. As Glennis Board reports, the program is trying to connect people to food resources that already exist throughout the state. She brings us this report.
According to data from the U.S. Census Bureau, about 15% of all West Virginians, or about 1 in 7, is food insecure, which means they have a hard time at some point throughout the year putting food on the table for lack of money, access, or resources in general. But what does that really mean? How many people in West Virginia are hungry right now?
The story of West Virginia is all of these statistics, like about obesity or health problems or poverty, or there's statistics about depression, and there's, you know, it's the saddest place to live. I mean, like, this was something that I read maybe like 3 or 4 months ago. It's the saddest place to live. And it's like, well, you know, the people of West Virginia are incredibly creative, and they're finding ways of making do with a situation that they themselves did not create.
That's Bradley Wilson, a professor of geography at West Virginia University. Wilson has been studying food and hunger issues, and importantly, thinking about why and how we are in our present situations.
These economic changes that have taken place over the past, you know, 3-4 decades in West Virginia, the decline of manufacturing, you know, the decline of coal, and the post-industrial economy here with large numbers of people working in the service sector making minimum wage, those are the cards that people have been dealt, and they've been trying to figure out a way to make that work. So there's a certain creativity that people bring that is not the story of West Virginia that is often told.
Wilson is the director of an ongoing project at the university called West Virginia Food Link. When the project launched, Wilson discovered there were more than 650 agencies working to combat hunger across the state.
There's a massive network of emergency food assistance agencies and anti-hunger agencies working across the state of West Virginia, serving between 200 and 300,000 people a month.
Food pantries, soup kitchens, charities, nonprofits, free school meal programs. Wilson and his team call it the Emergency Food Network. And in the West Virginia Food Link labs, they've been gathering a lot of data that's generated to try to grasp the extent of the network. Wilson and his team created a website to help spread information about the work that's being done. They're posting information and a lot of maps, like a food desert map of West Virginia they made for Inside Appalachia. But we live in a very fluid and changing world. We almost need real-time maps to keep up with the morphing food landscapes.
This emergency food network is itself extremely vulnerable, and we're finding a lot of pantries just closing shop, even since we started this project.
Joshua Lonis is a PhD student in the Department of Geography at WVU and the Associate Director of Food Link. His focus these days is really to determine how exactly people are accessing their food, whether it's driving to a food pantry or hunting, gardening. FoodLink researchers are definitely observing a major trend in the rise in popularity of alternative food networks like farmers markets and CSAs. But farmers markets today still only feed about 1% of West Virginia's entire population.
We are not anti-farmers market. We like want farmers markets. But how do you build both? How can we utilize the strengths of both? And I think that's where a lot of the interesting and innovative stuff's happening.
Food pantries with hydroponics operations, gardeners' consignment shops, mobile markets, food pantries hosting farmers markets or growing their own food. These are some of the innovations we're beginning to see in West Virginia. But Wilson says we need to see a lot more.
The way to scale up farmers markets, the way to scale up the alt food networks, inevitably is going to have to be in West Virginia, you know, addressing the question of how to incorporate and invite low-income households and low-income families to participate.
To that end, Wilson and Lonis at West Virginia Food Link are collaborating with many organizations to help connect efforts. The state's food banks, West Virginia Food and Farm Coalition, the Benedum Foundation, and the Sisters of St. Joseph, just to name a few. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Glynis Board in Morgantown.
The researchers at West Virginia University are making maps and answering questions about food insecurity online. foodlink.wvu.edu was unveiled earlier this year. You can find out more at our website, wvpublic.org. The U.S. Small Business Administration is giving West Virginia veterans an opportunity to learn the fundamentals of owning a business. The SBA will host an entrepreneurship training course for veterans and their spouses on Wednesday and Thursday at the Veterans Center in Hen Lawson in Logan County. The agency says the Boots to Business Reboot course will provide instruction on evaluating business concepts and developing a business plan. Participants also will be introduced to a network of lifetime business support. This is West Virginia Morning. It's 7:50. A flash flood warning is in effect for Greenbrier County until 8 o'clock this morning and for Braxton and Webster counties until 8:45. Rain and thunderstorms today. Some of these storms could produce hail, gusty winds, and heavy rain. Temperatures in the 70s and 80s today. Rain and thunderstorms tonight with lows in the 60s and 70s. And there's a chance of rain and thunderstorms Tuesday night, and Wednesday.
Support for West Virginia Public Broadcasting is provided by the Advanced Technology Center at Bridge Valley Community and Technical College, preparing science and engineering proficient technicians for a variety of economic sectors. More at bridgevalley.edu.
A traveling art exhibit has found a temporary home at Concord University. The Athens Voices USA 2015 Art Gallery displays work from artists who live or work within 30 minutes of an Athens community across the country. Concord University student Jesse Stevens has more.
The Athens Voices USA Gallery is a product of the Dairy Barn Arts Center in Athens, Ohio. It was started 7 years ago and has expanded into a traveling gallery. Jack Scheffler is the chair of the Division of Fine Arts at Concord and an instructor of art. He is one of the nearly 50 artists chosen to have their work displayed.
It's great to show the community what we're doing, but it also shows you work of people from Athens, Ohio, Athens, Georgia. It travels from different Athens. And this has been going on, I think, for a few years. And it's a nice show to get people together from the area and see their work, and sort of a meet and greet for art.
The show kicked off with a reception. Students and community members lined up outside the art gallery at Concord University. Art pieces hung on the wall and sat atop podiums as the smell of barbecue filled the air from the catered meal. 48 artists representing 7 different towns named Athens from across the country presented their work. Jamie Biggs is an associate professor of art at Concord. He played an instrumental role in bringing the show to West Virginia.
We started working with the Dairy Barn and the Athens Voices exhibition in 2013. And at that point, we had a handful of students and a handful of local artists that responded to a national call for entries through the Dairy Barn. That was the first Athens Voices exhibition that was opened up to a national audience. At that point, the Dairy Barn was looking for other venues to turn their Athens exhibition into a traveling exhibition. So we responded to that and offered the space here at Concord as one of those possible venues.
West Virginia is often pegged as an inspirational area, and Biggs feels that his work is truly shaped by his Appalachian heritage.
I think between the landscape and the culture, all those influences have a way of seeping into the artwork and being expressed through the objects that you make. So yeah, absolutely, West Virginia is a part of the work that I make.
Mandy Lester of Pocahontas County is a recent Concord graduate. She moved to the Mountain State in her early teen years and has lived here ever since. In 2013, she was chosen as one of the first Concord students to participate in the Athens Voices show. She, too, feels that her work is affected by West Virginia.
I think location has a lot to do with who we are as people, and that is especially true for people who grow up in Appalachia. And even before I lived in North Carolina, both my parents are from McDowell County. So I've always had roots in this area in southern West Virginia. A lot of the imagery that's in my work has a lot to do with this region. So there's a lot of religious iconography, a lot of coal mining, you know, throwbacks to that with little miners' caps on my pieces and stuff like that.
Mandy believes that the impact of West Virginia is a powerful tool. But she also feels that the challenges of the state can act as a hindrance.
I know, for example, one of my friends, he kind of wants to get away from West Virginia, you know, those tropes that people put on us. You know, he's embraced it, but also at the same time, he's fighting it, which is, it's interesting to see him go through that. But now he's at a point in his life where he wants to move on. He wants to branch out his artwork. He wants to change it up. He wants to be known for something else. And I think it's proving to be a little bit harder than what he expected.
The Athens Voices Gallery will eventually move to Athens, Alabama, and continue to carry the influence of the artist throughout the country. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Jesse Stevens in Athens.
And the collection includes works from artists representing Alabama, Georgia, Illinois, New York, Ohio, and West Virginia. The exhibit will remain at Concord University's Art Gallery until July 22nd. Authorities say one person attending a music festival in Jefferson County died, and 248 others received treatment for sunburns, blisters, and other ailments. Jefferson County Sheriff Pete Dougherty tells the Herald Mail in Hagerstown, Maryland, that a 26-year-old man was found unresponsive at the All Good Music Festival Saturday night. He says the man was taken to a local hospital where he was pronounced dead. Dougherty says the death appears to be drug-related. Paramedic Supervisor Chris Tennant says his medical transport company took 18 other festival goers to local hospitals. Another 230 were treated at the festival grounds. Dougherty estimated about 40 people were arrested on drug charges during the festival. West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. Keep up with all the latest West Virginia news throughout the day on our website, wvpublic.org. Support for our news bureaus comes from Shepherd University, West Virginia University, Marshall University, and Concord University. Follow us on Twitter at WV Public News and find us on Facebook. Our producer is Ashton Mara. Our director is Teresa Wills. I'm Beth Voorhees.